This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today, we welcome back to the program Bela Fleck. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. In the summer of 2018, I had a chance to visit with and welcome back to the program one of the most acclaimed musicians of the last several decades, widely regarded as the most virtuosic banjo player in the world, Bela Fleck. I spoke with Bela backstage at the Kettle House Amphitheater in Missoula prior to his performance with probably the most well-known of his many musical projects, Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
It's got to be the first performance here at the Kettle House. The Kettle House Theater is not.
Yeah, this place is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty
you know,
decked out.
When you travel on the road like we do, you wake up in a new place every morning and you figure out where you are and you look around. And some days you wake up and you go, wow, we got a great great thing going. Just to get to travel around and some of the places we get to see as musicians.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, we talked before the interview started about some other appearances you've had here in Missoula and in Montana in the past. But I was wondering, do you remember the first time you played in Montana in general?
I don't. Do you?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, I live here.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the first time that you played here?
No, I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on it. There's been, every few years I'll get to Montana and it's always great, you know, Bozeman and Missoula. And I love just being in this part of the world. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I'm going to do is I've got a number of questions I've got some that I have. And as well, I opened the Facebook page up and that's really great response.
Nice.
Some wonderful questions from folks who follow the program and follow Montana Public Radio. Maybe let's start with talking about the current tour and going with the original lineup. It's kind of like Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah. We're back. They're back.
Yeah, with Howard Levy. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's been fun for me as I've talked about doing this interview is talking to people and saying, oh my God, I forgot. Howard Levy used to be in this group. That's the original lineup.
Well, that was the original impetus to put the group together was these particular personalities, these characters that nobody else in the world plays like. And Victor and Future Man and Howard are just maniacs. There's nobody has even thought of what they've thought of and much less been able to pull it off. And so with the four of us, there's a certain balance of the creative, wacko, nerd, genius vibe. I'm not saying that about myself, but I can certainly say it about those guys. So when Jeff left the band and he got that wonderful offer to play with Dave Matthews, we were all for it. We said, good, man, you've done 14 years with the band. It's been awesome. I'm talking about Jeff Coffin. And you know, it's kind of time for us to reconfigure anyway and figure out what we're going to do and when. And we took a few years where we didn't really do anything. Mm-hmm. And then it got to be the point where it's like, yeah, let's do something. Let's change it up. And everybody said, well, see what Howard's feeling now. Because when he left after 3 years of the Flecktones, he kind of needed to go do other stuff. It was too much of one thing for him. And we were doing like, I don't know, 250 days on the road those first few years. And he was just like, yeah, I got to go do other stuff too. He's that kind of brain. He needs all that. And we all are really, but we were building this thing. And the three of us, Future Man and Victor and I stuck with it for, 20 something years straight of that intense touring schedule and really built it into something. But we always missed that energy of Howard. I love that the Jeff years, they came with a different energy, but this manic thing this manic genius thing that Howard brings makes the band do a different thing. And it's nice to get to go back and do that again. So for the last few years when we played, it's been with Howard, and we made an album called Rocket Science. I think it was 2011. Did pretty much of a year then. Then we took another few years and didn't play. And then 3 years ago, Telluride called and said, hey, how about the Flecktones this year? And I was like, I don't know. We usually only get together to do like a whole album of new material and like create new stuff. He said, well, think about it, because we'll make you a great offer. You can build a tour around it, and you can just do a couple of weeks or just do our festival. And I was like, well, we got to at least do enough to be good. So we decided to try not recreating the Flecktones, but just playing a lot of the material that we've always had that people want to hear anyway.
Yeah.
And our idealism was almost getting in the way of us getting to play together and have fun. Yeah. And so that worked great. We had a blast, and it was short enough that we didn't get tired of it. And we have a big raft of material from years and years to pull, not only the Howard material from the first three records and things we never recorded, but also some of the stuff with Jeff is fun to hear with Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that first year, when we've gotten back together, it's just been a couple of weeks a year. But we've managed to do it the last 3 years. And so this is what we're doing now is our couple of weeks together.
Thank you.
Let's just jump into some of these Facebook questions, sure. Because there's so many things, so many ways I could go with this interview, as we mentioned, all the different collaborations beyond the Flecktones. But this will maybe serve as kind of a jumping off point. I got to start with the first one. This comes from a terrific banjo player in his own right. Matt Cornetti plays with the Little Smokies, who started here in Missoula. And you may find this amusing. He just wants to know what gauge strings you use.
Oh, sure. I really like GHS strings. This is a banjo nerd question. I like them now because they wrap them. They put them in a plastic wrap so the strings don't end up getting sort of old when they're sitting on the shelf for a year or something. They're like perfect. They come out brand new. And it's a custom set that they make for me, and it's 10, 11, 13, 22, 10, which is the perfect medium gauge set, in my opinion.
Now, Gretchen asks, how old were you when you began playing, and on what instrument? I know it's a bit of a trick question.
Yeah, I probably started playing guitar when I was 7 or something like that, 6 or 7. And it was like a gut string classical guitar kind of thing, cheap one from the music store. And my mother got it for me because I begged her, and she taught me some folk songs, some campfire songs, things like that. But I had heard the banjo before that, like when I was probably 4 or 5, but I didn't get one because I never imagined I could actually play it. It seemed impossible for anybody to play that instrument. It was just such a cool instrument, so hard sounding. But then my grandfather got one just because, oh, you play guitar, maybe you'd like to have one of these. I never really told anybody how fixated I was on the banjo. And then when I showed up, I just freaked out. I just was so into it, and then played it constantly. And I went from like a occasional guitar player to a type A psychotic banjo player.
That's a good description. The next question from the Facebook page, Jesse asks, which is more difficult to play on the banjo, Bach or Bird, as in Charlie Parker?
Well, ironically, there are similarities. Like, as I've transcribed some Charlie Parker solos, not as many as I ought to have, but a few of them, and the way he uses the 12 tones is really interesting. It kind of jumps out at you in Charlie Parker's music as a cool surprise, but in Bach's music, he does a lot of the same things, but in a way that you don't even realize he's doing it. You know, he meanders through the 12 tones in such a way that it just sounds like the most natural consonant thing in the world. But both of those kinds of music teach me new things about the banjo. Any phrase, if I just take a measure from a Bach violin piece or piano piece, or a measure from a Charlie Parker solo, I learn something new that I can immediately apply to my understanding of the banjo. So I love both of those.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Bela Fleck, and I want to remind listeners again, we are speaking today backstage at the Kettle House Amphitheater, recording this in mid-July 2018. Susan asks, have you returned to Africa recently to further explore the beginnings of the banjo, Throw Down Your Heart? I know it was the project. I know you referenced that in the On Being interview.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I guess now that I'm a father, I'm looking for less risky endeavors, you know.
Sure.
I was there for 5 weeks. I think maybe three of the places that I was in have had actions. I don't know, police actions, like from Al Qaeda to you know, terrorist actions and stuff. And I'm a little loath to go to places where I'm at risk now that I have two children, and I feel like I'm making safer kinds of choices. I felt really lucky at the end of that trip that all the people I was responsible for, the crew, we had 5 people traveling, my brother, all the equipment, you know, we managed to get in and out, and everybody came out fine. And a lot of those places you wouldn't go to now, it wouldn't be wise to go to. Wow. So that's sad, but Yeah, I'm in a different place. I mean, I love that adventurous spirit, but now it's not just me. And before, I was just, I think I was not even married to Abby yet, but we were, still it was different. When you have kids, it changes your perspective. So yeah, I'm looking for stuff that's a little less risky. I haven't been driven to go back to Africa, but what I did do is I had a bunch of those people come over here and perform with me after that album. And that was like several years of like even more in-depth understandings of or interactions with African musicians, because we got to play every night for long tours. And then it started to get a little dicey getting them over. So like I could have booked a big gig, like one of the musicians that I played with a lot, Buseko Kuyate, had a big gig at Town Hall in New York City, and they wouldn't let him in the country because of they decided he was on the watch list or something. Oh. Because he was from Mali, because of the things that were happening in Timbuktu. Had nothing to do with him. And I thought, wow, I'd be the guy sitting holding the bag if these guys didn't show up and I'm booked with African art. So I guess I wimped out a little bit and decided to, besides it was time to have a child and time to perform with Abigail. And there's a lot of great things. And also to pursue the orchestra world, which also seemed like a world I could explore from the safety of the United States mostly, and and be more of a family person for this period.
Bela, I mentioned earlier in the interview that I had in the midst of doing some research for our conversation, I also went back and listened to your interview with Krista Tippett from On Being with Abigail Washburn, your wife. And I wanted to touch on this because I thought this was a really cool concept. When Abigail talked about the first time she heard Doc Watson and what a pivotal moment that was for her on a number of different levels, and you pitched in right away and said what you were hearing was the truth. So my question is, within, let's say, the last year, can you think of some experiences you've had that are that pivotal or that intense, but musically or otherwise?
I usually think about it about dead people, like listening to Charlie Parker. When I hear him play, it just sounds like the truth. It's like there couldn't have been no other choice. Or when I hear Bach, you know. But as I said, I haven't been listening a lot this year. Mm-hmm. When I heard the Wood Brothers recently playing in Miami at the Snarky Puppies Festival, I always have that experience listening to them that I just mm-hmm. think it's just so honest and simple and pure. And I mean, it's not simple they're wonderful technical players, but the purity and the power of that music feels really truthful to me. And I love that. That's like my favorite thing.
Could you have that experience, let's say, going back and listening to some of these all-time favorites, where you rediscover something? I mean, I know just on an entirely different level. Like if I'm stuck in a department store and I hear, I don't know, Baba O'Reilly by The Who for the 50 millionth time, mm-hmm. I'll just make myself listen for something I haven't listened to before. And I'll find, oh my God, listen to what Keith Moon's doing on the drums or something.
Right. You know, well, you're down in the layers. You've heard it so many times. You're able to hear underneath the surface to what's under the hood. I mean, the Beatles are that way for me. That's one of the things for me. And I'm sure it's that formative time in your life when you're accepting things and, mm-hmm. and hearing them for the first time. But the Beatles stuff stays with me and has that purity and that truth to it. But still, for me, Earl Scruggs playing the Beverly Hillbillies, I still can't get over that recording. So I guess for me, I still think about things I've heard in the past that make me feel that way. And musicians that I love tend to have something in their playing that sounds like that.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. We're speaking today with Bela Fleck, and we are backstage at the Kettle House Amphitheater in Missoula in mid-July 2018. BelaFleck.com is the name of Bela's website. That's where you can go to find out all things Fleck. And there's many things Fleck going on there. A lot of cool stuff going on, as you mentioned, fatherhood. Anything else that kind of off the musical subject
now? Well, we have a brand new baby that Abby had. We had, I guess, and his name is Theodore Wilder Washburn Fleck.
All right.
Or T2WF, if you prefer. And that's been a big, exciting change. It's weird to be away right now, but it's a short trip. We'll see what it's like with two kids on a tour bus. One was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have an older son, right?
Yeah, he's 5 years old.
Juno?
Yeah, Juno. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much for making time to talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight. Great to have you back on the program. Hopefully it won't be quite as long in between your appearances here on Montana Public Radio.
Thanks, man.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Bela Fleck. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to Logjam Presents for this program. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.